Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science interviews and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, Earth's population milestone of 7 billion humans. Biomimicry, imitating how nature solves problems. And seeing the brilliant planet Jupiter in the night sky. Here's a scientist soundbite.
Biomimicry is innovation inspired by nature. It's the process of looking at something like a leaf and trying to figure out how to make a better solar cell.
That's acclaimed author and innovation consultant Janine Benyus. More with her later, but first, Science News of the Week with Emily Howard and Michael Brennan.
On October 19th, astronomers for the first time took a picture of a planet forming around its star. They say this protoplanet, or newly forming planet, called LKCA-15b, is actually being built before our very eyes from gas and dust surrounding a young star. The astronomers who conducted this research from universities in Hawaii and Australia said LKCA-15b is the youngest planet ever found, about five times younger than the previous record holder. Images have revealed that the forming planet sits inside a wide gap between the young parent star and an outer disk of dust.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration released its 2011-2012 Winter Outlook for the United States on October 20th. NOAA's Winter Outlook shows warmer and drier conditions for the southern portions of the United States, including Texas. Cooler and wetter conditions are possible for the northern parts of the United States, stretching from Seattle, Washington, to the Great Lakes region. You can find more details at earthsky.org. Search for Winter Outlook 2011.
There is no link between long-term use of cell phones and tumors of the brain or central nervous system. That's according to new research published online in the British Medical Journal in October. In the largest study of the subject to date, Danish researchers found no evidence that the risk of brain tumors was raised among 358,403 mobile phone subscribers over an 18-year period. Several scientific bodies had previously suggested that cell phone use was possibly cancer-causing, and the researchers involved in this recent study note that further monitoring of the connection between health and cell phone use is warranted.
Researchers at Yale University say that most genes associated with psychiatric illnesses are expressed before birth in the developing human brain, and they add they've figured out where these genes are located. The researchers analyzed 1,340 human tissue samples, translated the samples into a whopping 1.9 billion data points, and then used the data to create an unprecedented map of genetic activity in the brain. Details appeared in the scientific journal Nature on October 27th.
New research from Southern Methodist University Geothermal Laboratory shows that geothermal resources across the United States are capable of producing more than 3 million megawatts of renewable power. That's 10 times the installed capacity of the country's coal power plants. SMU researchers determined this from sophisticated coast-to-coast maps they created of geothermal resources, or heat from the Earth's interior. They relied on data from Google Earth and released their results on October 25th. I'm Emily Howard.
And I'm Michael Brennan. Science interviews coming up. But first, here's a new song from Melogrand called Void.
So what if they were wrong? And your retirement is gone. They're gonna party till the break of dawn. So have they left us little choice? To let the fire be our void. In
We're EarthSky, heard globally on over 1,200 stations, including Voice of America. Janine Benyus is well known as a popularizer of biomimicry, learning strategies from nature and applying them to human problems. She's the co-founder of the Biomimicry Guild, which consults with industry to design more sustainable products. And she's the president of the Biomimicry Institute, a nonprofit that promotes the transfer of ideas, designs, and strategies from biology to sustainable human systems design. EarthSky spoke with Janine Benyus outside her home in Montana. Ms. Benyus, what is biomimicry and how did it come to be?
Biomimicry is innovation inspired by nature. It's the process of looking at something like a leaf and trying to figure out how to make a better solar cell. It's something that's been going on for a long time, actually, if you think about the Wright brothers and looking at turkey vultures to learn about dragon lift in flight. But now, it's actually becoming one of the ways that engineers and product designers and architects do their work. It's become popular in the design disciplines, mainly, I think, because people are looking for more sustainable ways to do things, to sip energy instead of guzzle it, and to shave materials, and to do things in less toxic ways. And organisms know how to do this. After 3.8 billion years, life has learned what works and what's appropriate on the planet. And right now, that's what the people trying to redesign our world are looking for, a way for us to live here in a way that enhances this place. Organisms know how to do that.
What are some of your favorite examples of biomimicry?
I like looking at what organisms do that's completely different from how we do the same thing. So, for instance, this peacock feather, if we were to make this, we would use chemicals, pigments, to make it. It actually has, the only pigment is brown. It's done with structural color. It's done with transparent layers. When light reflects back to us through those layers, it creates the color blue or green or gold to your eye. There's now an e-reader display screen that uses the same principle, and it's made by Qualcomm, and it needs no backlighting because it uses layers and the ambient light to create the different color pixels to your eye. So it's an incredibly low energy way to do it. Life doesn't use detergent to clean itself. If you think of things like leaves that need to stay clean, you wonder how do they keep the dust off them? The famous example is the lotus leaf. That's a leaf that is in a muddy area, and yet it's very clean and pristine. It's been mimicked. The way it keeps itself clean is it has bumps on its surface. When rainwater comes, it balls up. Dirt particles teeter on those bumps, and the rainwater balls them away, pearls them away. And that's been mimicked in building facade paint called Lotusin, that when it dries, it's got that bumpy structure. And rainwater cleans the building instead of sandblasting, instead of detergents. And it's the same thing in fabrics, and it's coming out in all kinds of products now. I really like the examples of us starting to do what plants do and what organisms like mollusks do in the ocean and corals do, and that is take CO2 as a building material. So there's a new kind of biodegradable plastic that is 50% by weight, it's CO2 as the feedstock. There's also a new kind of cement, it's an alternative for Portland cement, that is a major ingredient in concrete. But this takes CO2 from smokestacks. Using the recipe of the coral reef, it actually, and water with minerals in it, it actually creates an alternative cement that sequesters CO2. I also like the littlest organisms can be brilliant. So there are organisms called brine shrimp that are able to dry out almost completely and then exist for years in that state without dying. And the way they do it is they preserve their cellular material. They're kind of a shrink wrap sugar that wraps around their cellular material. And we're mimicking this in a new way to encapsulate vaccines so that they need no refrigeration, which is huge. 50% of the people who need vaccines don't get them because of a break in the cold chain. So that's a big breakthrough from a very small organism. The humpback whale has inspired a new way to make blades of wind turbines rotate. The humpback whale has scalloped edges on its flipper, and it enables it to reduce drag as it's swimming. And by putting those same scalloped edges onto a wind turbine blade, it allows the wind turbine to rotate in very low wind speeds. It's a company called Whale Power. We're learning a lot from sharks. Sharks, of course, the shark skin suits that you heard about in the Olympics that allowed swimmers to go very, very fast. That same sort of material is being put on airplanes and on the hulls of ships. But the new thing that we're learning from sharks is that the skin of the Galapagos shark is rippled in such a way that it keeps bacteria from landing on the surface of its skin. This is being mimicked in a thin film product called Sharklet that is being used a lot in hospitals now for doorknobs and railings and hospital beds. And what it does is it repels bacteria, but without chemicals. And this is really important as we try to reduce our use of antibiotics, because we know that those, you know, breed for resistance. So we have superbugs. So in the fight against superbugs, having a physical rather than a chemical means of repelling bacteria is really, really important.
You've been listening to author and innovation consultant Janine Benyus. Come to earthsky.org for video of our interview with Benyus at her home near the mountains of Montana. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We invite you to join our community for science. Find us as EarthSky on Facebook, EarthSky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird is here to talk about the global night sky and a great time to see the magnificent planet Jupiter. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge. Jupiter is the second brightest planet after Venus, but Venus is very low in the west after sunset now, so Jupiter is the brightest object up for most of the night. Now, on October 28th, the Earth passes between the Sun and Jupiter. That places Jupiter opposite the Sun in our sky, so Jupiter is rising in the east as the Sun is setting in the west, and astronomers call this an opposition of Jupiter, and in fact, this is Jupiter's closest opposition until the year 2022.
Wow, so this is a really, an especially good time to see it.
It absolutely is. And, you know, we always notice when a planet is at opposition, but in fact, the month after opposition, the upcoming month for Jupiter, is going to be the best time to see it, because then Jupiter will be already in the sky when the sun goes down. It'll be in the east when the sun goes down. Very, very noticeable. So if you're out any time in the coming month, so that'll be the month of November 2011, and you notice a very, very bright object in the eastern sky, that will be the giant planet Jupiter.
Why is this such a great time to see Jupiter? Why is it so close to us now?
Well, Jupiter takes 12 years to orbit the Sun, and Earth takes 1 year to orbit the Sun. So every year we pass in between the Sun and Jupiter. And that's what's happening right now. We're passing between the Sun and Jupiter. Jupiter is at opposition. But Jupiter's orbit isn't a perfect circle like Earth's orbit isn't either. And Jupiter has a closest and a farthest point from the Sun. In 2011, Jupiter itself was at its closest point to the Sun. So when we're now passing between the Sun and Jupiter, Jupiter's a little bit closer to us than it normally is. So this is Jupiter's closest opposition until the year 2022.
And for people listening who want to see Jupiter, what are some tips for finding it?
Well, there's no problem finding it, Jorge, because it really is bright. It shines steadily, like all planets do, but it's the brightest thing up there in the sky throughout the night, and you just can't miss it.
And we hope that everyone around the world will be able to see this magnificent planet, Jupiter, in late October, November.
That's right. It's visible equally from both hemispheres. Everyone can see it. So please go out, take a look for Jupiter.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird. And we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. We'd love to hear from you on Facebook. Tell us where you're from. You can find us as Earth Sky. October 31st, 2011 marks a milestone in global population of 7 billion humans, according to projections by the United Nations. Earth Sky interviewed demographer Joel Cohen, professor of populations and head of the Laboratory of Populations at the Rockefeller University and Columbia University in New York. Joel Cohen spoke to us by Skype while on travel in Paris on what he's identified as key population trends in a world with 7 billion people. Dr. Cohen, welcome.
Thank you.
What does it mean to have 7 billion people on Earth?
Of the world's 7 billion people, about 3 billion, a little less than half, live on about $2 a day. That's roughly $750 a year. That is abject poverty. You try to live on $2 a day for long and you'll start losing weight pretty fast. So roughly half the world is in desperate poverty. Among them, a billion people are chronically hungry. That means they wake up every day hungry. They don't get enough calories to get through the day and do a day's work like you and me. And their brains aren't fully nourished and fully developed. And they're having a very hard time learning and coping with life's problems. At the other extreme, there are about a billion people who are really seriously obese. And that's partly a matter of not getting a good food supply also, not a food supply that's balanced for their needs. We have enough food being grown every year to feed 10 billion people. We have 7 billion people, and 1 billion of those are hungry. We ought to fix that. About 215 million women worldwide have an unmet need for contraception. That means that they don't want to have an additional child, and yet they're not able to use modern means of contraception. According to the United States Centers for Disease Control, in 2001, approximately half of the pregnancies in the United States were unintended. And that is a very serious problem of human well-being related to the lack of control over people's own reproduction. So I would say these are problems that are ongoing but don't get the attention they deserve.
Geographically, give us a sense of who the 7 billion people are on this planet.
Well, there's roughly 1.5 billion living in the rich world. That's Western Europe, United States and Canada, the overseas English-speaking countries of Australia and New Zealand, Japan, and perhaps the Asian tigers. Then there are about 4 billion of the middle income countries, China, India, Brazil, many countries in Latin America, the middle income. And that means on the order, maybe $5,000 a year income. And finally, there's the bottom billion or billion and a half. So I took what 7 billion, 1.5 billion in the top pile, 4 billion in the middle, and 1.5 billion or so in the bottom. Those people are living largely in sub-Saharan Africa, but in the New World, also in Haiti, and in many of the provinces of South Asia, in both Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, Bangladesh. There are hundreds of millions of people in dire poverty. So that gives you a sort of a geographical picture of where these 7 billion people are.
You've been listening to demographer Joel Cohen, and that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Ryan Britton, and Deborah Bird. Our audio engineer is Eddie Campos. And special thanks this week to our musical contributors, Mellow Grand, Sleep Good, Okote Soul Sounds, 100 Flowers, and The Black and White Years. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next stage. There are so many artists, too much art, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next stage. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt ya. What you don't know won't end is terrifying. What you don't know won't hurt ya. But you don't know, but you don't know, but you don't.